For those of you who do not know me, my name is Aaron Reed. I am one of the volunteer staffers here. I went through the youth group myself, had a tremendous impact on my life, and so I love and it is my great joy and honor to volunteer within this group. And it is particularly my distinct privilege and blessing to be able to speak before you on occasion from time to time. And let me just explain a little why I consider it such a great privilege. And that is because each and every one of you, from the front of the room to the back of the room and all to the sides, you matter to God. And thus, you matter to me. And so I absolutely mean it from the bottom of my heart that it is an incredible privilege and blessing to have the opportunity to interact with each and every one of you just in this brief amount of time that we've got together. So want to make sure that that is clear up front. Before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. God in heaven, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be alive, to have four working limbs for so many of us, to have three hot meals a day that we can eat for so many of us, to have roofs over our head. We have so many blessings, and it is easy to lose sight of those, God. And so we just pray that we would learn more and more today how to grow in our relationship with you and how to follow you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, I did not bring a clicker up here with me. Hope that doesn't matter. I'm assuming the sound booth folks can help me out in the back. You can see there on the screen, the title of this message is Willing to be Radical. Are you willing to be radical? Now, if you're like me, you hear that term radical, and you're at least a little bit skeptical, because radical can be a loaded term. It can mean different things to different people. For some folks, the term radical can have good connotations. For other people, the term radical may have not so good connotations. So, in the interest of making sure that we're all on the same page, because I like being on the same page, and if you like being on the same page, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're getting there. Let me try one more time. If you like being on the same page, can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, there we go. So, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, I want to define a little more clearly and a little simpler terms what I mean for the context of this message when I use the word radical. So, the word radical actually comes from the Latin word radix. And the Latin word radix is the English equivalent of our word root. So if you're following along on your little handouts, by the way, which we definitely chopped down some trees to give these to you, so do follow along. That first bullet point under letter A, radical defined, radical comes from the Latin word radix, and radix is the English equivalent of the word root. And you actually see this root word radix show up in other English words. For instance, we'll see if any student in the room might be able to tell me what...
Radish.
Hey!
Do I get the radish as a
prize? This is actually probably the only sermon you will ever have in your life that you will get free radishes. So for what it's worth, you can have some free radishes. So, but point being, radish is an edible root vegetable, right? It's a root vegetable. So you hear that that same word, radix, root in that. Also, the word eradicate. Some of you may be familiar with that. You probably know it to mean to eliminate completely or to wipe out. But really, in its earliest form, eradicate simply meant to completely uproot or to pull something up by the roots. So when I use the word, oh, hey, we got a fantastic, those are some good looking radishes. If we could back up one slide to the slide we were on earlier. the word radical in its earliest definition in the 1828 Webster Merriam Dictionary simply meant pertaining to the roots or the origin of something. So when I ask if you are willing to be radical, I'm not necessarily asking if you are willing to be extreme or if you are willing to be crazy or if you are willing to be negligent or if you are willing to be reckless or if you are willing to be careless. I simply ask if you are willing to be rooted. And specifically, if you are willing to be rooted in your faith as a Christian, if you are willing to be rooted in Christ. So if you're following along on your little handout, that third bullet point, radical equals pertaining to the roots or the origin. And we're going to move on to kind of illustrating radical a little bit. Because some of you may be wondering, well, so what does it look like to be rooted in our faith? What does it look like to be radical in our faith? And I want to clarify one thing here. I'm going to specify some key aspects of what I see it means to be rooted in our faith. However, this is assuming that you have placed your faith in Christ to pay for the penalty of your sins. If you have not yet done that, sit tight because we're going to touch on that a little bit later in the message. So, what does it look like to be rooted in our faith? First bullet point, well, second bullet point under radical illustrated, we yearn for God. Now, that may not be a word that you use very often, but it basically means we have an intense longing or desire for God. If we are rooted in Christ, we understand that God is the source of life and the giver of all good things. And we want to experience God more and more every day. And we want to put ourselves in the places and in the situations. We have a desire to put ourselves in the places and situations and around people who will help us and enable us to understand and know God better. So one of the more radical statements in Scripture, a place that you can kind of see this illustrated a bit, I believe is Psalm 42, verses, I'll just read 1 through 4, and I'll read them one at a time, and we'll kind of talk through it and process it together. This is Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Oh, sweet. We got a picture of a deer up there. Now, I YouTubed deers panting for water and guzzling water, and I figured it might be a little bit overkill to put a 3-minute video up there of some deer going, hulp, 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 you know, just kind of guzzling up the water. But you could take my word for it that man, those deer can drink water. That's the truth. Hey, just to make sure everybody's engaged, turn to your neighbor and say, man, those deer can drink. Go on, turn to your neighbor. You guys are great. Hey, they don't call it Deer Park water since 1873 for nothing. Those deer can drink. Now, bring it in. The imagery is powerful there, that the psalmist is saying, as the deer pants for this water, which it so needs to live, that's how my soul, that's how the psalmist's soul, that's how our souls should be hungry for spending time with the Lord. And he doesn't even stop there. He keeps on going. This is verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When shall I come and appear before God? When can I go and meet with God? Some translations may say. And I don't know about you, but for me, that is a very convicting and challenging statement, because I know so often for me, my mindset is, when can I go sleep? When can I go take a nap? When can I be done with this stupid homework? When can I get the newest video game system? When can I go on a vacation? When can I eat some food? And not to say that any of those things are necessarily wrong, but certainly it's very important that we have a yearning and a desire to spend time with the Lord. And so I wonder, how often is my mindset, how often is our mindset one of, when can I go and meet with God? When can I fellowship with other believers at church or shepherd groups and be challenged by them, be vulnerable, and glorify and celebrate God together? When can I go on a missions trip to serve and glorify God? It's challenging question by the psalmist. And it continues on, verses 3 and 4. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. So you can see the psalmist's intense desire for God and for the things of God. He wants to go to the house of God, and he wants to worship God with other believers and glorify and celebrate the Lord and everything that the Lord has done. So that's first key aspect about being rooted in our faith. We yearn for God. Now, secondly, we delight in God. Well, it looks like we may be a little bit ahead of ourselves. You can probably back up one slide. We delight in God. So we want to get to the places and in situations and around people who will help enable us to grow in our faith. However, when we get to those places, man, we delight in the Lord and we delight in those opportunities. We stay fully engaged in those environments. Looking at Psalm chapter 1, this is a passage that may be familiar to some of you, just consolidating verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Wow. His delight. Not his, you know, mild interest or half-hearted, half-committed, wishy-washy, sort of maybe kind of interest. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. So not just, you know, bored and apathetically skimming over or glancing over or reading and unattentively while distracted, but he meditates, studies, memorizes, applies, meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Now you might have thought, you know, isn't it good enough to just do like day or just do night? No, both day and night. That is a radical statement and one that shows the psalmist is rooted in the Lord. And it says, continuing on in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. And you may read that and think that the most significant thing there is that that he'll be by rivers of water. And that certainly is true that that's important. But I would also emphasize that potentially equally important is that the psalmist says, the word of God says, that the tree will be planted. It'll have roots that go down deep, right? So to illustrate the importance of that, I believe I've got a picture of the national Christmas tree in the slide somewhere. So if we can get to that, that's great. But if not, no worries. Has anybody... Anybody excited about the National Christmas tree? Anybody, raise your hands. Anybody gone to see the National Christmas tree? There we got somebody who's excited. Oh, we got a couple people. That's what I'm talking about. So raise your hands. Who's gone and seen the National Christmas tree at some point, or gone and seen the actual lighting? Okay, so we got a couple of folks in here. So question for you guys, maybe even for the folks that raised their hand. And we got some fruit by the foot on the line here, so in case that's any incentive. Fruit by the foot or bust. National Christmas tree. Does anybody happen to know, are the National Christmas trees, are they cut and brought in every single year, a lot of folks may, you know, get a Christmas tree that's been cut, a live one, they bring it into the house, or are the Christmas trees planted, you know, on the national lawn near the White House? Anybody have a best guess at the answer to that question? I heard somebody's got to raise their hand and say it loudly. Planted. Yeah, there we go. Couple fruit by the foot's coming your way. You can share some with the table. Oh, whoop. Okay, so that's actually a little bit of a trick question. You couldn't have really got it wrong. They were cut from 1954 to 1973, and then due to the work of a number of conservationists, the decision was actually made to use planted trees going forward to, you know, not be chopping so many trees down. So since 1973, the trees that have been used as a national Christmas tree, they have been planted, and thus they are used year after year. And that's significant, right? Because you could be by the river all you want, but if you're not planted and you don't have roots, if you're just, you know, a chopped off tree, you know, it's going to be a little bit hard to absorb the water and the nutrients that are so necessary. So the fact that the tree is planted is very significant. And it shows that when we delight in the Lord, we further our roots in him, and we further establish and grow our roots in him. Bonus question, just because we got to get out some more fruit by the foot. Does anybody know the current national Christmas tree, when it was planted? It was within the past 5 years. Anybody want to take a guess? 2012. Who said it? That's the right answer. Let's go. There you go. That is the correct answer. Well played. Okay. Okay, bring it in. So, when we are rooted in Christ, we yearn for the Lord. We yearn for God and the things of God. We delight in God. If you're following along on your little handout, we're now heading down to the fourth main bullet point under Radical Illustrated. that is, we trust God. Third key thing about being rooted. So many of you may have been familiar with Psalm 1. I want to read to you a fairly similar passage in Jeremiah 17 that some of you may be less familiar with. And it goes like this. this is Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Thus says the Lord, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. So again, here we see the prophet Jeremiah, you know, saying, you know, of the Lord, that the one who trusts in God is going to be like this tree planted with roots. And that's significant. So when hardships and disappointments and losses and heartbreak and challenges and frustrations and obstacles come our way, we trust the Lord. We trust that he is sovereign. We trust that he is working all things together for our good. We trust that he is building perseverance in us. We trust that he's in control, that he knows what he's doing, and thus we are rooted in him. To help illustrate this, I want to show you a brief video about one of my close friends' experiences with trusting the Lord. He's a guy who actually went through this youth group my age. Some of you, maybe even adult volunteers, will recognize him, know who he is. He's a great guy, went on the England and Chicago missions trips, and I'll kind of let the video speak for itself. So if we could pull up that video, that would be great. I hope you caught in the middle of that video when they were getting that lawsuit that was way more than they could possibly pay or afford. Their go-to was, they basically said, we're going to pray because we don't know what to do, but we're going to trust God with this. And they said to God, they held it with an open hand and said, God, you know, you started this thing, and if you want it to end, you know, we're open-minded to that. If you want it to keep going, we're open to that. They trusted in the Lord, and that kept them rooted. So quickly now, because I want to wrap up by 11:55, so we got 4 minutes. This handout right here, if you're following along, the last two blanks that I have not given you, radical benefits. I'd be remiss to not touch on that a little bit, because what the Lord offers is unlike anything anyone else can offer. The Lord offers incredible blessings in many regards. So these two bullet points, these are just some of the benefits that I see. Number one, we are nourished, or you could say satisfied spiritually. And number two, we bear fruit in its season. So if I'm to continue reading on these two passages, this is Psalm 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, and whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And again, Jeremiah 17, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. So you can see the benefits are kind of twofold. One, that we're going to be nourished and taken care of spiritually and satisfied. So it talks about the tree staying green, the tree getting the nutrients that it needs because it has the roots that are by the river. So the tree's not going to go hungry. And in the same way, God offers incredibly satisfying and meaningful opportunities that we will not find anywhere else. But also, we can bear fruit. We can not only, you know, take care of ourselves, but also we have the opportunity to really care and love others in a way that matters. And I can speak for myself and the lives of, you know, a number of my friends who have gotten serious about their faith in saying that there is nothing that satisfies like following the Lord. And I love even, you know, the beginning of Mark's message there was like, hey, I'm in college, and I'm just kind of playing video games, and I feel like I'm wasting my life, and I want to do something that matters. And if we take God seriously, he will take us up on that, and he will give us neat things to do in following him. So I did say that if you had not placed your faith in the Lord, I would come back to that. So with the 1 minute that I've got left, I want to touch on that. The most important and fundamental step in growing roots, or even having roots in the first place with the Lord, is recognizing and realizing that we are sinful and we have all done wrong things that separate us from God. But God, in his great love for us, sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay that penalty that we deserved for the wrong things that we have done, so that we, by faith in Jesus, could have God's righteousness and could be reconciled to God and spend eternity with him forever in heaven and begin a relationship with him. So make no mistake about it, that is the most fundamental step in establishing roots in Christ. And if you have any questions about that, or you want to discuss that any further, myself or any of the staffers here would love to discuss that with any of you. And really, if any of you have questions about anything, shoot, come up and talk to us. We volunteers are here because we love you guys, and we want to get to know you, and we want to invest in your lives. So that's what I've got. I've got a couple of table questions.